Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
It's time now for our weekly gathering. We're going to discuss the big stories of the week. And my panel this week is Jennifer Carroll McNeill, Minister of State at the Department of Finance with responsibility for financial services, credit unions and insurance. Darren O'Rourke is here, Sinn Féin spokesperson on climate and energy. Elaine Loughlin, political editor with the Irish Examiner. And Tom McEnany, business consultant and former business journalist. And you're all very welcome. Thank you for being here today. Now, let's start with the notion of grocery price caps. A lot of talk about this week, but the notion of capping prices, Minister, I'll start with you on this. It was raised at your own parliamentary party meeting. We hear from reports. And I suppose people will be saying, well, if you're even mentioning that, is there a suggestion and a belief that prices have gone up more than can be justified by inflation? And do you think, and does your party believe, that there is some sort of greedflation at play here?
I think you have to watch it very carefully. I think it was very clear that prices went up when input costs went up and they were reflected to consumers very, very quickly. When prices are coming down and inflation is coming down and we're seeing that steadily, albeit, you know, slowly but steadily, those prices should come back down. Now, we've seen that in a couple of sectors, but I think we need to watch it very carefully. Now, there is a forum for being able to manage this. Neil Richmond, who is in charge of the retail sector as minister, has the capacity to bring the sector in. And indeed, his last meeting was in March. He plans to bring them in early to have that conversation and to assess what is happening, why, and what the pace of reductions is likely to be. Now, there is a backstop, as you're aware. There is legislation. There is a system whereby government can intervene to cap prices. We never want to have to get there because those are very big draconian measures. But government will use that if necessary. But I think in the interim, it's important to figure out what the trajectory is with retailers and prices and where it, you know, where the concerns are in relation
but
to prices generally.
How long is that going to take? Because you're already saying, well, we probably won't go there with the Consumer Protection Act, which would allow you to price cap in certain emergency situations.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that that's a backstop that you don't want to have to get to. You always want to achieve something by compliance first. And the minister, I mean, he had his last meeting there just at the end of March. He's pulling his next one forward to be able to bring retailers in, to be able to have that conversation very directly, assess what the situation is, and then have a consideration about it, which I think is a pretty reasonable approach in relation to it. But retailers were happy to put prices up, they should be happy to bring them down as well. And we need to see that. Consumers are still paying far too much for goods and we need to make sure to reduce prices every way we can.
From experience with the banks, for example, when government said, please don't pass on these interest rates, that asking politely doesn't work, you know?
No, I'm not sure we're asking politely, Claire. We're very clear. This is happening in an expedited way. The minister is bringing retailers in to have this conversation, to get information. And there's a very clear backstop available if necessary. So, but I think it's reasonable, though, to do that in that way.
Darren, is that going far enough, do you think?
Well, it isn't. And I think you look at this as, you know, as real implications. You know, the amount of people who are struggling to make ends meet is significantly increasing. The amount of people who are parents presenting to food banks has doubled in the last year. It really is putting people to the pin of their collar. I think, you know, the ECB have said, for example, that they see greed as a driver for inflation and for increased costs. We know there are issues along the supply chain. I think there's, you know, we've heard from the agriculture sector, from farmers, you know, there's been pressure put on them. They've been outside factory gates in the past. They've been under significant pressure. And I think there's a difference there between primary producers and retailers. I think retailers have been incredibly profitable traditionally, like a lot of sectors, insurance, you know, housing, banking, food,
Neil MacDonald
energy.
On from the Irish Small and Medium Enterprises on yesterday, and he was saying, look, his members are facing increased labour costs. They're having to comply now with new legislation around statutory illness benefit and so on. For many of them, their costs are not falling. In fact, he would say they're increasing.
Yeah, well, their profits are reported in public, and you know it wasn't Sinn Féin, but the ECB said that greed is a driver in relation to this. And I think if you look at the amount of people who are struggling to make ends meet, I think it's unfair to suggest that it's workers' pay that is driving this. And I think again another example of an area, and we can talk about energy the same in terms of my own portfolio, the regulatory regime government really not having, you know, whether it be the Competition Authority, whether it be the CCPC, whether it be the new Food Ombudsman, who isn't going to have the power to investigate cartel-like practices or anti-competitive practices. I think there needs to be, you know, business has to make a profit, but there has to be competition within the market, and there has to be, you know, attention to...
But you heard what the Minister said there. They're bringing them in, they're bringing forward this meeting of the Retail Forum, and they're saying, look, we have the Consumer Protection Act here in our back pocket. If we need it, we'll use it.
Yeah, well, and let's see that from government. And I think it is important that we monitor it, that we have seen reductions, and we need to see more of
them.
Sorry,
what Sinn Féin is saying there, I mean, that's exactly what I've set out. Let's bring people in, get information, and use the draconian measures if we need to. And we clearly have the powers to do that. Sinn Féin is saying that's an unreasonable approach. I find that extraordinary. There isn't, you know, what is the more reasonable approach than that?
Well, for example, the Food Ombudsman could have the powers to investigate anti-competitive practices.
Well, the CCPC already have that power.
But they don't use it. They don't use it, to be fair.
They use it all the time. I can't remember how many times I've reported on the CCP using their powers. They're extraordinarily effective, and there's no reason to believe that they're not using it now. We were talking about the need for further monitoring of retail in Ireland. Retail in Ireland has already been monitored. And let's just be clear. There is zero evidence that retailers in Ireland are acting in any way that's anti-competitive, or acting in any way other than just reflecting a broader inflationary environment. If you're a small retailer in Ireland, or even the bigger retailers, but let's look at the smaller retailers, who at the moment are being demonised by politicians for a situation where they find that their inputs are going up. They find that their electricity bills are going from maybe 20 grand a year to 50 grand a year, and they're having to reflect it. Their cost of labour is going up.
How are they being demonised by the use of that
greedflation? By the suggestion
ECB
that there's...
The
ECB is not talking about Ireland. The ECB is talking about at an ECB... Maybe there are places in Europe where that's going on. But let's investigate what the ECB says. Who's going to take that blindly and say, because the ECB uses this one word, we're going to demonise all retailers in Ireland? There is not one iota of evidence that Irish retailers are doing anything other than reflecting a broader inflation.
So consumers just have to accept the fact that our grocery shop, when you get to the till, it's absolutely wild.
It's wild.
Crazy.
But grocery shopping in Ireland, it's one of the most competitive environments in the country. If you were looking at non-competitive spaces, you could look to energy, you might look to banking, you might even look to insurance.
I think at
the moment, if you're a grocer, I'll finish with this, if you're a small retailer, you know that you've got Aldi and Lidl on your shoulder. If you put up the price of carrots, people are just going to go around the corner. It's extraordinarily competitive.
But I think to look at the primary producers and the pressure that have been put on them over years, but also to see that move where on milk and butter, in a matter of days, moved like on block to reduce them.
But what does that do to the farmers who are producing it? And they would say ultimately they're taking the hit on that.
Absolutely. And I think that there is a need to, I think, for consumers going to the market on a weekly basis. And I think if you look to the fact that so many people are under pressure, struggling to make ends meet, and they see a pattern, I think, within the retail sector where they're using the period post the war in Ukraine, post the COVID pandemic, to increase their profits.
Elaine.
I think we do have two issues here. As you said, Claire, the cost of a weekly shop or bi-weekly shop is astronomical, is wild, to take your phrase there. But at the same time, farmers have been going on about this, and producers, long before we had the issue of inflation, that for years people have not been paying the true cost of groceries. And we've even seen the percentage of income that goes on groceries has decreased. If you look back to 30 years ago, the percentage of household income that was being spent on groceries was far more significant than it is today. And, you know, when you had, let's say, 59 cents, 69 cents for a bag of carrots, that probably wasn't sustainable, especially for the producers who were saying that they weren't getting what the cost of producing, whether it was carrots, potatoes, milk, butter. So I think that has to be factored in. Mm. But I think farmers also say that they're not clear on the level of profit that the supermarkets and the wholesalers, the retailers are making on their product. So that probably has to be looked at too.
Now, the other area where people are experiencing massively high prices and it seems very slow reductions, Eamon Ryan has mentioned this as well. He's just not pleased with how slow the energy companies, Minister Carol McNeill, are passing on those price reductions. And we don't really have an explanation now, do we, as to why that's not happening?
I don't believe we do. And I think we do need a better explanation in relation to that, because as I said before, they were very quick to put them back up. Mm-hmm. And I think we do need a better explanation in relation to that. Now, it's very clear the government is going to introduce a windfall tax particularly targeted at fossil fuel companies, because of course we want to try to protect the renewable sector and continued investment in the renewable sector, and we need to be really careful about that. But there is going to be a windfall tax that reflects.
Is that going to cut it though, do you expect?
What do you mean now exactly?
In terms of getting consumers down to a level where they can afford to put food on the table and pay their
bills. I don't think
it's
an either or sort of thing. I think we do both. I think it's a windfall tax that money then goes back to the consumers in a whole range of different ways, like the cost of living measures that we've been trying to introduce this year. It is also about getting explanations from energy companies and pressure on energy companies to reflect what have been huge reductions in wholesale energy prices now back to consumers. Yes, okay, there's a certain lag, but that lag, in my view, has long since passed. The wholesale prices went up and the prices went up for consumers. Wholesale prices have come down now, and it is very clearly up to energy companies to provide a very clear explanation now about why that hasn't been passed on in a commensurate
way.
And
is that all we're going to do? Just ask them for an explanation, or
no,
we're going to go further?
Well, I just said we're going to introduce a windfall tax on their profits and pass that back to consumers directly to
be able
to support them.
But you also want them to drop their prices.
Yes,
that's
yes.
an ask, though, as opposed to a demand or any sort of legislation to make sure that happens.
Well, let's look at it. The windfall tax is about taking a piece off the profits and distributing that back to consumers. I also expect that prices should come down from energy companies. That doesn't have to be an either or sort of thing.
And what if those prices don't come down?
Well, I think we need to reflect on that at that stage. But in the meantime, let's introduce the tax and let's make that applicable very quickly.
Is that enough, Darren?
No, well, actually, the government's windfall tax is going to be absolutely pathetic. And Jennifer just confirmed there that it's focused on fossil fuel companies. We don't have fossil fuel companies of Ireland. In Ireland, we've got Corrib Gasfield and we've got the refinery in Whitegate. Where the real opportunity for Ireland was, where the real profits, the obscene profits were being made, were in the wind farms. And the government are not pursuing those profits outside of last December. And if we all remember, the high prices in the energy sector were from April to November last year. So we're specifically missing the opportunity that's there. And in fact, by the government's design of this windfall tax, they are allowing those companies to walk away with those profits.
So
this is a statement of fact. And other countries like Belgium, like France, have specifically recognised that weakness of the EU regulation, and the government are just lifting the EU regulation and taxing those profits. And that's what Sinn Féin believe we should do. And I think it's just a matter of fairness. And it would. You've seen the estimates for the windfall tax before Christmas was to bring in the region of 1.9 billion euros. What are those revised estimates now? To bring in 600 million euros, a fraction of it. Why? Because we've foregone those massive bumper profits. And I think that's a measure that we need to take.
There is a windfall tax on fossil fuel electricity generator and a cap on market revenue on some of the generators like wind. But I think actually this is really extraordinary. What I'm saying is we need to support the rollout and investment in renewable energy. Darren is spokesperson for climate and energy for Sinn Féin, as I understand
it.
And I presume a great supporter of solar farms right across Ireland, including in your own constituency, because I'm sure what you want to see, as I want to see, is a transition to fully renewable energy right across Ireland. So I presume that that's your position, right?
That is absolutely my position. I think it's reasonable to allow a 20% profit on top of what's a reasonable profit. So 92 euros a megawatt hour is what is profitable for energy companies. This windfall tax being introduced by government is coming in at 120 euros. So it's allowing a very significant profit. The difficulty is it's not capturing the period when profits were at their absolute highest and actually offensive and obscene. And I actually think if we want to encourage people to support renewable energy, we need to show that it is delivering for them reduced bills. Instead, the opposite, delivering massive profits for wind companies.
Does Sinn Féin support renewable energy right across Ireland?
Of course we do. Yeah,
in
absolutely.
Every case, and solar, wind farms.
Not blindly. We don't blindly support everything, but we, on a case-by-case basis, you assess projects, but absolutely, we are fundamentally committed to delivering a renewable transformation. And I wouldn't mind, like today, the competition or the CETP outlined how poor poorly this country has done.
Which is why the focus on investment is even more important, and why it's important that there's a distinction.
Your argument is to protect the super excess obscene profits of renewables companies.
I'm just trying to get really clear on what your position is on solar farms.
What I can't get my head around, and if I were a consumer looking at increased prices, I'd be more than a bit miffed about it as well, is that the government is not in a position to be telling us whether it is the case that prices are being, price reductions are being passed on in a timely manner or not. We have Eamon Ryan, a very good minister, but when he's asked the question, he talks about hedging and we're not quite sure and we need to find out. The government, apart from being responsible for ultimately regulating this area, is the owner of the biggest energy company in the country. There's absolutely no reason why the government can't pick up the phone and figure out exactly what's going on in a matter of minutes. And if it's not capable, well, this is a big issue. Get an energy economist, give them a week and tell them to come back with a couple of answers. But the government consistently telling us, as it has been, that we really just don't know whether the market is operating properly and therefore whether energy price reductions at a wholesale level are being passed on in a timely manner to consumers at a retail level, is just not acceptable. And in fact, It's difficult to get one's head around. I can't see any political reason for the government to be dragging its heels on getting accurate up to date information on this and being able to give us definitive answers.
Well, Jennifer,
which
just
right now
out.
They're not doing.
They want to protect the. Don't forget that Pascal Donoghue, then Minister for Finance, opposed windfall taxes up until August of last year. The government opposed windfall taxes until they were forced on them by the European Union.
The government is introducing a windfall tax, but what Sinn Féin's position in relation to energy was to cap it entirely. It was basically the Tory policy
I think I know the Sinn Féin policy. I wrote it, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you what it was. And here's the criticism of the UK model, which we never proposed. The risk with a cap on electricity is that on the supplier side, it encourages suppliers to charge whatever they want. We will introduce a windfall tax. On the user side, it encourages them to, you know, use as much electricity as they want because their bills are capped. We weren't proposing to cap bills, cap the unit price, and also to a point based on average usage. So there was an incentive there to use less, and that's to conserve energy,
Can I just come back, Tom, to what you were saying? The government could pick up the phone and find out exactly what's going on.
Of course.
But find out what's going on, but can't do anything about it, can they?
There's loads they can do about it. They own ESB
but
Ireland.
It's just like retail.
They can
and
give
you're
a
saying
direction.
They shouldn't intervene there, but they should intervene
well,
here.
Yes, but the difference is, if the government were the biggest retailer in Ireland, well, then I'd be suggesting that we might be looking at government intervention. The difference with the energy market is it's not a properly functioning market, which is the case with retail. Government sets prices. It's heavily regulated. The way in which that market operates is decided by government through regulators.
Yeah.
It's not a free market. And therefore, if it's dysfunctional, if it's not working properly, and right now, if the government doesn't even know if it's working properly or not,
Jennifer, that you have control here. You could have control. It's a decision. It's a choice.
No, I think there is a regulator for utilities which is responsible directly to the Oireachtas. But I think government needs to just intervene here with a windfall tax. It's very clear that when energy prices were going up, it was impacting consumers very quickly and very directly. We need to see that coming down, and we also need to see the windfall tax. But what I'm saying is that
the government has a vested interest here. You've got skin in the game.
Through semi-state companies, yes, but there's still, I think there's still a matter to go through the regulator, and we have to make sure the government isn't.
But at the very least, you have extraordinary access to information. At the very least, you can tell us whether the prices are being reductions are being passed on in a timely manner. Why is the government not in that position right now?
I can't answer it.
Why can't Eamon Ryan, when he was asked during the week, why couldn't he answer it either? Because he's the minister responsible. I can guess why you wouldn't necessarily know. But you've got Eamon Ryan being interviewed by a number of national newspapers during the week. And basically he said, I really don't know, but they talked to me about hedging and maybe that's hedge. That's not good enough.
I think the government now in some ways is fortunate. We've just spoken about groceries. People need to eat the same amount of food every week. So they see the groceries going up. we're coming into the time of year where people are thankfully not turning on the electricity as much and heating as much. So bills will either stay stagnant or naturally go down. So it does give the government a bit of wriggle room, and it probably lets the energy companies off the hook on this. And I think if it was similar to groceries, that we were using exactly the same amount of energy week in, week out, the government would be under a lot more pressure on this, mm-hmm. and we'd be maybe seeing a bit more movement beyond the windfall tax, which is not coming in for many months.
Elaine,
let's
you might
face
just
it.
Take us into talking about mortgage interest relief and what we've heard from government on mm-hmm. this. We know there have been calls for them to do something on this front, another increase this week, the seventh one. So what's happening? What's the lay of the land?
Yeah, and we had Sinn Féin up in the Dáil again yesterday, Piers Doherty calling for that mortgage interest relief. I think Sinn Féin's plans would cost around 400 million to the end of the year alone. So you're talking up to double that for 1 year alone, 12 months, which is a significant amount. And I think that's, while the Taoiseach was out yesterday saying that yes, mortgage interest relief could be considered in the context of the budget, I think ministers and even the Taoiseach himself said that they'd be very wary of such a measure, because it doesn't even help every single mortgage holder. It would only be a considerable cohort, but one particular group, and it would eat into the tax package available to government. Mm. And the government have already cited, you know, changes to income tax perhaps, and as well cost of living measures, and you have to take in renters as well when you're talking about tax measures in the budget. So I think it's something that they're saying is under consideration, but seems like it would be they'd be very cautious in perhaps considering this really costly measure.
We had economist Ciarán Casey on the programme, Tom, a little bit earlier on, and he thinks that the idea, the notion of introducing mortgage interest relief, he said it's a terrible one.
I think it's a terrible idea. But I think it's inevitable from a political point of view when you have, because it's so politically attractive. But I think it's a terrible idea. I would benefit from it because I'm in a fortunate position of owning a home with a mortgage. So if there's interest, a mortgage interest relief, I benefit. But if you're taking out...
Depending on what type of mortgage interest relief is introduced,
and how
because
structured.
It may only be
but
introduced
in
tracker mortgages,
in,
for example.
In principle, I, as a mortgage holder, I'm likely to benefit from anything that reduces mortgage costs. But if the government has an extra 500 million lying around that it wants to apply because accommodation costs are so high, why would it take the richest people in the country? Basically, those people who have houses and are fortunate enough to have houses with mortgages and say, we're going to give you a subsidy.
You imagine people screaming at the radio who are paying back with somebody else who's got 600 thrown on top of their mortgage in the last couple of months and can't afford to
and I have
get to the end
and
the
they
month.
Have every sympathy for them, but then
but you're
around,
that they're the
they should explain
the
to the yes they are explain to the people who are paying rent, which by and large is higher than mortgage repayments, but the difference is you don't own your house and you're never going to own your house. If you're feeling aggrieved because mortgage rates have gone up, and you should, and I do, and I understand it, believe me, I feel great sympathy and empathy, but I also feel empathy for renters, for people who are paying way more than what are typical mortgage repayments and who don't have security of tenure, and for people who can't get accommodation. And if we have this pot of money lying around that we can apply to the accommodation crisis, by all means apply to the accommodation crisis, but there are more effective ways of applying it than just giving money to the most fortunate of us.
Okay, but Dara O'Brien, who was here, Jennifer, during the week, said very clearly that they are considering this. They're looking at it. It's an option in the budget. I saw when Tom was speaking there that you were agreeing with him, that you think this is a terrible idea, do you?
I think that what I want to see in the budget is people getting more money back in their pocket. And at the end of the day, whether you're paying rent, whether you're paying a fixed mortgage, whether you're paying a tracker mortgage, what you want is more money back in your pocket. And I think you can do that through an income tax package like we did this year, which Sinn Féin voted against. But we did an income tax package which got more money to people. Mortgage interest relief is one way of doing that. But Tom is right. What we've seen before and the OECD analysis of it is that it benefits people who are the wealthiest, who have the highest incomes, who have the highest mortgages. Now, what I would like to see is that everybody benefits, particularly those who really are at the pin of their collar, really the squeeze middle. I believe that an income tax package should be looked at very significantly by the government. We are going to have an income tax package. we are in the process of preparing a budget and everything is on the table in relation to that. But there are significant advantages to approaching it more generally to impact everybody who's being suffering.
So now, Darren, you're being accused of wanting to help the wealthiest people in the country. How does that sit with you?
Well, it doesn't sit well at all.
That's the data. I pointed it out in the Dáil repeatedly to your finance spokesperson, and you're still advocating it.
I'm a renter. I'm not sure if I'm the only one around the table here who doesn't own a home. I wouldn't benefit from mortgage interest relief, but I think it needs to be introduced because of the type of pressure that families are under. Yesterday, the Taoiseach responded and said that we couldn't do it outside the budget cycle. We're getting mixed messages from government. They're opposed to it. They're considering it. It can't be both. They point towards other measures that they're reducing. For example, free school books, reduced fees on school transport.
Cost of living reductions.
Those are welcome, but there are a cohort of people who they do not apply to, that they do not.
Bear
in mind, there are people who, and I know, I represent them, they're in my constituency clinics, who have had their mortgages sold on to, and I could list out the vulture funds.
That's a different issue.
And we're specifically targeted. They're a group that need to be supported, and our measure is a time-bound measure.
Renters?
For
do
a period.
Renters need to be supported?
Absolutely.
Do you believe that we should therefore introduce a subsidy for renters? So, or do you just think we should only subsidise mortgage
holders? There's only a certain amount of money that we have. I think it's 10 billion euro surplus.
Bear in mind, the government have said they can't intervene in between the budget cycle. They've done that on multiple occasions. VAT and solar, the tourism sector, supports for developers. So I believe...
That is a fundamental misunderstanding of the budgetary process.
Which mortgage customers or which people should benefit from this measure that you're talking about? Is it just the people who are paying back very high interest rates to the vulture?
No, and bear in mind that we're talking about a percentage of the increase, not all of the increase, and up to a
so
maximum of 1,500
euros. Everybody who's on a variable rate or a tracker
and those that have been sold on. I think they're really exposed.
There's people who have no problem paying these increases.
But there are supports there. We will in our taxation measures, and we've outlined a suite of taxation measures. I know
mostly tax increases.
Exactly. So there are tax increases, taxing money away from people, wealth taxes, all the people. We will tax wealth and support people who are in desperate. There's lots of people listening to this radio.
This measure now,
Now is the time to do it.
And Elaine, you want to say something?
I think Claire, just to come in on that, you know, while a mortgage interest relief would really help some people who are really struggling, you're talking about over 400 euro more a month between now and this time last year that some people are paying. But there are a lot of people who can just take that those increases, who, you know, perhaps even are at the towards the end of the lifetime of their mortgage, so they can take that for a while. But your measure would give it to everyone regardless of whether they can afford it or not.
And we'll just come in on as well
the vulture fund issue, because I think another proposal that it seems like Michael McGrathy raised it earlier on this week at his own parliamentary party meeting was to get the banks involved, because he said that they do have a role to play in this, and if some of the pillar banks came back and took on some of those mortgages that are now very functioning very well, that you wouldn't have to get the state to subsidise the heavy and high prices and high rates that those mortgage holders are now paying.
Fine Gael want to put money back in everyone's pocket, Darren, not just some people's pockets.
No, we're really serious about that. Yeah, no, Sinn Féin outline every year, everywhere, a progressive taxation regime that targets wealth in this country, and Fine Gael know that better than anybody.
We have to leave it there. That's all we've time for. Thank you very much for coming in, all of you, and thank you at home for listening. A big thank you to the team. As always, Niamh Lyons produced today. Emma Cawley and Maura Lawson were our researchers. Jarlath Holland is our broadcast coordinator, and Liam Mullen was on sound. Have a lovely weekend. It's over to Louise.
Thank you very much, Claire.